still here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here amongst God's people, to feel His Spirit. What a wonderful blessing it is. Especially as Brother Painter so famously coined it, it is a wonderful Wednesday. I've been reminding myself of that all day long. Bless the Lord when this or that came my way. It's a wonderful Wednesday because we have an opportunity to lift up our hands and praise His name tonight. And that right there is invigorating. You know, I can just let myself sit back and start to get that comfortable feeling. And next thing you know, I'm not here. My mind is somewhere else. Or worse than that, I'm just out. But thank the Lord I have an opportunity to come here tonight and to get strength for my soul. To get strength to not only make it through the week, but to get one more step closer to Him. And that's what it's about, is getting closer to Him on a daily basis. You know, I appreciate understanding that why we have the midweek service. You know, if we just go with with religion or what others go with, you might just have a Sunday service, you know, just trying to keep that Sabbath in their mind. But, you know, it's a daily walk with Him, and I really appreciate Wednesday night service. You know, I've thought about it before. You know, we've heard so many different analogies. You know, the prop line service. You know, the midweek filling station. You know, it's getting to come together with people that have a like vision, with God's people. Because through the week, whenever I'm rubbing shoulders with the world, you know, I'm trying my best to put on charity and to put those things into practice. But as far as having that vision, Sister Crow, of knowing what I'm doing on a daily basis, what my thought plan is, what I'm trying to do, I'm not really hooking up with many people who are going the same way that I am. So whenever I get a chance to come in here and mingle my spirit with God's people, that's a blessing. It's a blessing that I don't want to take for granted, to be able to see each and every one of you, to lift your names up in prayer. I tell you what, Brother Smith, I know that God touched your mind when it came to what we could do about praying. Because, you know, I would always wonder, you know, when we didn't have that Tuesday night service anymore for praying, you know, it's like, I know we need to, but I understood the overall whole plan of it, that how it, you know, it wasn't seeming to be as beneficial, but we needed to have it. But when you said to have it, you know, before Wednesday night service, I mean, it was just like, you know, hey, you know, that makes sense. Why didn't someone else think of that before? I mean, it was one of those moments. But it's, you know, as I've came and been able to kneel down and before service and just get that time, just that set aside time to start communing with the Lord. You know, it's not like today. I've tried to keep Him on my thoughts. You know, as I'm driving around, I get that. I do have that opportunity as a sales rep. You know, as I'm driving around Arkansas, you know, I'll just be having my conversation with the Lord. But because I'm driving around Arkansas, I can't devote my full mind to praying to Him, because that's dangerous for those. You know, I'm not that much in the Spirit yet, Sister Tally. I can't put it on autopilot. So I have to give some of my thought to what I'm doing. But when I can kneel down here and clear my mind and just start lifting up God and saying, God, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for one day calling me to the body of Christ. You know, and now it's up to me. It's up to me to say, all right, Lord, you've called me this way. I want to be chosen, though. And I want to be faithful. I want to be here when the doors are open. I want to be here, you know, whatever it is that's going on at this facility, not because of this building, but because I want to help grow the kingdom of the Lord. I want to be a part of the body of Christ. So I'm really appreciative that we're here tonight at Wednesday night service. There's a reason to lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord. Hey, I made it to Wednesday. All right. Praise His wonderful name. Thank you for that strength, Lord. So let me go ahead and take us to prayer tonight. I know we have a lot of needs. That's another wonderful thing I was thinking about, going down on my knees there and praying to the Lord, just going over everyone in the church and getting a chance to think about each one of you and saying, Lord, you know, help my brother, help my sister. And it just does something. It helps to create that bond a little bit more. So I know we have some needs here tonight. I know we need to remember Sister Wilkins still, Sister Rice. It's good to see Brother Steve Wallace with us tonight. And Sister Tally. Well, you know, I've through the year seen her, and she's been here. It's we're just happy to see you, but it's like you belong there, right next to Sister Tally. To keep Sister Tally in line, I know, and that's a difficult job. So it's very good to see you as well.
Brother Fisher, you need one to pray for our brother Pilsen out in California. Really had a good trip out there, and just got back late last night. And I'll try to give a little bit of a testimony about it later. But I know he'd appreciate it if we'd pray for him and his work out there. And then Brother Emilio Green is leaving tonight at 11:30 to go back. And from there, I think he stops in Charlotte, and that's at 8 o'clock in the morning when he arrives in Charlotte. And then he leaves about 10 o'clock and arrives in Dominican Republic at 2 tomorrow afternoon. So let's pray for his trip. Then I got a letter today from Brother David Angelo's wife and him and the family. Just thanking us for their prayers, our prayers for them. He's having this bout with stage 4 colon cancer. I've been on treatments, chemotherapy, and they're going to do a body scan December the 14th. And they're asking that we keep them in prayer and continue to pray for them. Let's keep praying for Brother Peltz Assembly. You know, he died abruptly without any, foreknowledge that he even was sick, and that left that assembly in a dire condition. So, I feel like we need to keep him in our prayers. Then my mother's really been sick with real bad chest cold, and I hope she don't have the flu, but she is better today. In fact, Sister Smith was going to come tonight, but I told her I felt she ought to stay with her another day. When she's taking medication, this week Brother Dave's had to go over there twice and pick her up off the floor. She's been down in the floor twice, and my wife can't get her up. So we're kind of having to watch her right now. But anyway, I know there's other prayer requests. The Hearst Church.
Their Brother Rawlinson, who's a sound man, they're buried one of the Woodcocks. I guess that was San Antonio. Now that church was killed in a car wreck on the way to church Saturday morning.
Oh. What's his name?
Rawlinson.
All right. Just remember that need. Keep praying for Sister Bud. Sister Bud has what kind of eye disease is
glaucoma,
that?
Isn't it?
Huh?
Does she have glaucoma?
Glaucoma.
That's glaucoma.
Yeah, she's got glaucoma. But she had surgery and had a I guess it's a lens replacement, I guess. Is that what it is? Yeah. Anyway, and she had that before the Brownsville meeting, and of course she was blind in that eye, which is normal, and it takes a long time for your sight to come back. And of course, she is getting her sight back some, but it's still not back to where it was, or even with glaucoma, and it's kind of got her worried, I think. So let's keep her in our prayers also. Sister Crow, yes. She lost her sister.
Yes.
And so keep praying for that family.
Yes.
I know Sister Crow, it's hard on her, so pray God will comfort her during this time.
Any other requests here tonight, Sister Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sister Jerry. S- Sister Thompson? Sister Thompson's mother.
And Brother Thompson's kind of sick tonight, so remember him.
That's my Brother Thompson. But Sister Elsie Ratliff needs prayer tonight as well.
Yes.
Any of the needs?
Brother Mike Crafton contacted me, couldn't make it tonight. Wanted our prayers.
Let's remember Brother Crafton also. If there's no other needs that we want to bring up here, Brother Dodson, unspoken requests. I know we all have needs that we want to lift up to the Lord tonight. If we'll stand as the ushers come forward to receive the offering, let's just take them all before the Lord tonight. Dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father, God, we appreciate you so much. What you do for us, Lord, and opening up your arms for us to bring our needs to you, God. You said you have, you know our needs before we even have, before we even ask them, dear God. We ask you, Lord, to help us, God, each one of these needs, Lord. Brother Pelson and those assemblies in the California area, Lord. Brother Pelt's assembly, dear God. Oh, Lord Jesus, strengthen them, Lord, through this transition time, dear God. We understand a little bit about that process, Lord. We just ask you to touch them, Lord. Lead them in the right direction, Lord. Sister Wilkins, Sister Rice, Lord. Remember the Green as he's traveling back to the Dominican Republic, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, we just come to you, Lord, as our Father, as a great physician, Lord, to help us through. Brother Angelo, Lord, as he's still going through this cancer, dear Jesus. You know each one, Lord. Sister Bonnie Hallelujah. Smith, Lord, touch Hallelujah. Her. Help her, help Sister Smith tonight to work with her, dear Jesus. Lord, Sister Elsie Ratliff, dear God. Sister Crow and her family, Lord, as they're bearing with this loss. Brother Rollins' family, dear God, as they suffer this loss, dear Jesus. Oh, God, you're our help, Lord, in time of trouble, Lord. Oh, God, we go to you, Lord, when we don't have answers, Lord. We know you do, Jesus. We appreciate you so much, dear Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, bless your name, Lord. Bless you. Oh, God, the service tonight. Mr. Smith, oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be back home. I've got to
do a busy schedule right now, but I'm just going to endure it. I'm really, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm really a homebody. I really don't like traveling, but it just seems like it's something I have to do right now. But I'd just soon stay home with y'all, I promise. But I always enjoy seeing God's people and what the Lord's doing in other people's lives and other assemblies. And this trip we just made out to Los Angeles was really an encouraging trip and time. I really got to know Brother Pilson much better. Of course, Brother Emilio Green's still out there leaving. Well, actually, he leaves tonight. So he's it's only 6:15 there, so he's not gone to the airport yet. He doesn't leave till 11:30 tonight. But Brother Pilson is—he's such a quiet man and such a humble man. If you're not careful, you won't realize what kind of man he is. But he is a doctor of theology, and he has a master's degree in psychology, and he has 20 churches. I mean, that's not a made up thing. He does have that. But he is really hungry for God, and he loves what he's hearing, and it just seems like God just got him ripe, you know, for bringing him to the body. And of course he wants us to set a time for me to go back out there in April and have a retreat with his 20 pastors, and he wants me to talk on the falling away and restoration of the church and Babylon and the beast and the dragon. And for 3 days. So I said, well, I'm willing to come if we can work it out. I'm sure we can work it out some way. But Brother Green, having been there 2 weeks before I got there, really paved the way and really had his mind already open. And he's his cousin. I get kind of tickled at him. The word cousin in Spanish is primo. And that's how they address each other. They say primo, and then the other one will say primo. And when they talk to each other. Brother Pilson is 3.5 years older than Brother Green, and his mother was on the boat that went from Philadelphia to Samaná Peninsula. She was a first generation Dominican that was a slave from slavery. And Brother Green's grandfather was on that boat. And so when they were little boys in Samaná, he knows all those stories about Jimmy and Sonny. Brother Green, he's told me all of them. Y'all hadn't heard them all yet, but you know, there's some really funny stories. I mean, when that boat got over there to Samaná, there was no one there on that peninsula. I mean, it was just vacant land, and they just colonized it, you know. And they didn't have any policemen. They didn't have any schools. They didn't have nothing. And they really didn't want much to do with the Dominicans because they spoke Spanish and they didn't know what they were saying because they all spoke English. And and they had, you know, they had church services in their homes. And they, you know, there's just some funny things, you know, like Brother Green always tells about Sonny, that there's having a church service in Sonny's house. And you know, and one of the brothers would stand up to preach, and he'd say, "You sat down. You're not preaching in my house." Said, "You a hypocrite." Said, "You're not talking in my house. Sit down." And then another one would get up, and he'd set him down. Well, Jimmy heard about that. He wasn't in that service. And he saw him in the street the next week, and he said, "Sonny, what you doing setting down preachers in your house? You don't know what you're doing." Said, "You can't be setting nobody down." And he said, "Yes, in my house, you don't preach unless I say so." And Brother Green said another guy would get up. He said, "Now you yes, you can talk." These guys, you know, they were. They just come out of slavery and they have these English accents from their, you know, the masters that were over them, and that's where they all got their name. Pilsen, you know, Green, White, King, Shepherd, Johnson, all those names, you know, that then they, a lot of those people, you know, it's like I said, you know, when you hear Jose Antonio Pilsen, you say something's wrong here. The Jose Antonio, you know that's Spanish. But where did Pilsen come from, you know? Well, anyway, so when Jimmy got on to Sonny about it, he said, "Now, if I come to your house and I'm going to preach, you ain't setting me down." He said, "Oh, yes. You come to my house and preach, you're going to get set down because you're a hypocrite too." He said, "I ain't setting down." He said, "Then we're going to rock a law down in the show door." And the Shodo was the river, and Rock-a-la, that was their little English phrase for "you're going to duke it out." We go down to the Shodo. And he said, "That ain't nothing for me." You know. So, and then they just got some funny stories, like there was another one. What was his name? He claimed to be an angel, and he dressed in a white robe. They said he was a little off. Which he might have been a lot off. I don't know. But one night, he came to church. Brother Green's told me this story many times. And Brother Pilsen told it to me the other night. Knowing Brother Green told it to me. He's telling me about, about this. Sammy. This is Sammy. He come in his white gown to church, and he was sitting there. Him and his wife had gotten an argument. And so she took some stinging nettle. Everybody in here know what stinging nettle is? Stinging nettle, you know what stinging nettle is, don't you, Jody? Yeah, it's a little plant that grows in the ground, and if you touch it, it'll set you on fire. I mean, you can just, you know, if you fall down in it or something, it gets on you, and it just sets you on fire. It takes hours to get over it. You can't wash it off. You can hardly, you know, it's not. It just, Sister Crow, you know what stinging nettle is? You never heard of it? We had it up in Oklahoma. It's all over. You know what it is, don't you? Well, she took some stinging nettle and put it in his britches. She was mad at him. And he put on that white gown in them pants and went to church. And he was sitting in church, and he was moving around. And so the person that was in charge said, "Look like Sammy has something he's wanting to say." I said, "Go ahead, Sammy, say it." He got up and he said, "Well," he said, "I'm going to tell you." He said, I'm telling you tonight, he said, my heart is really, he said that God is really in my heart. But he said, the devil is in my britches. And they've got these stories, you know. They tell me about one, that this guy, he's still alive. He's like 100 years old. His name is Teto. And Teto is about 6'4", and his waist is all the way up to here. And his pants comes all, his belt tightens right up here, just right up. And they said when he walks like this, like a flamingo. He's got real long legs, but he don't have any body. And they've made fun of him. And Brother Pilson's mama got up in one of their services one time. She said, I had a dream about Teto. She said, I dreamed that God and the devil was arguing over Teto. And the devil said, I don't want him. And God said, I don't want him neither. And Teto was sitting there and he said, my God, what am I going to do? He said, God don't want me, the devil don't want me. So they're always making fun about Teto. They have all these stories about Solomon on their childhood. But they had two. Finally, they didn't have any policemen, but they had two guys that they had put in charge of keeping peace. And these two boys, one of them went to work for a guy that was had a like a hardware store. He sold nails and hammers and things that people were using to build their houses and huts and things with over there. And he hired this boy to work for him. And this boy, he had a friend, and this boy saw where the man was that owned the store was hiding his money. And it tempted him, and he told his buddy about it, and he said, let's go get that money. So one night, he fixed a way where they could break in, get in there. And they broke in there, and they stole those two little money sacks. And they stole them. And the guys that was supposed to be watching the town seen them come out of that store. And they saw that they saw them. They took off running. And they run and they thought they lost them, but the guys, they run into the cemetery. They got in the cemetery, and when they got in the cemetery, they waited in the dark in there for a while, and they thought they lost those guys. And they couldn't count. They hadn't been to school and didn't have any school, and they didn't count. So they opened those sacks of money, and they'd just take one money, and they'd say, one for you and one for me. One for you, one for me. And those two guys that was looking for them came up on the cemetery, and they heard something. They stopped and listened. They said, you hear that? Said, my God. Said, that's God and the devil dividing up souls. He said, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get out of here. So they testified about that in church, that they was afraid that God was going to, the devil was going to say, one for you, this one for me. They have all those stories from boys, you know, that they remember. But Brother Pilson he was 3.5 years older than Brother Green. So, you know, he didn't hang around him very much as a child. There was too much of an age difference there. So they didn't see each other very much. And then later when they got older, Brother Pilson moved to Santo Domingo. And Brother Green stayed in Seminole, and then later his family moved to La Romana. And So they got separated, never did hardly see much of each other except family gatherings and things. And then 27 years ago, Brother Pilson was able to go to Los Angeles. He had a high place in the military in the Dominican Republic. And he was able, at that time, it was easy to come to America and get a residency. And so because he had a high place, he got a visa, and he came over, and he was able to apply, and he was able to stay out in Los Angeles. But somehow or another, in September of this year, before we went over there, he went over there for a visit, and it just is in his mind to go see Brother Green. And he stayed with Brother Green and went to church, stayed with him over a weekend, and he had a dream that night. It was a Saturday night. He had a dream that Brother Green appeared to him. And I didn't really get the whole dream. They told me, but I don't think I have it all right, so I'm not going to try to put any detail to it. But in the dream, God had sent, you know, Brother Green to Brother Pilson, and he touched Brother Pilson, and it like illuminated him and opened his eyes. And then the next day, and he woke up, and he thought, my God, I'm in a man of God's house, really, for sure. He knew he was a preacher, but he didn't know much about him being a, you know, he didn't know even what kind of Harley church he had. And so the next day they went to church, and they had just a wonderful service, and God touched Brother Pilson and his wife both in such a deep way. And then he told Brother Green, he said, I didn't know I had a cousin that was had such a great understanding of the Word of God, and that was a great preacher. And so they began to talk, and Brother Green began to tell him about the body, and that's when he said, I got to know more about these people. And of course, he wanted to come to Brownsville, and I called him and helped him. I found him a ticket. And so it worked out, you know, that he came, and then Brother Green went with him back over there. And, of course, me going over there, when we wasn't in church, well, then they were in my motel room with his notebook, paper, and asking questions, and we were just going over the falling away of the church mostly, and the restoration, Babylon, the beast and the dragon. And Brother Green had gave him enough things and answered enough questions that I was able to fill in details, and he really is embracing this. So it kind of scares me in a way. In one way it doesn't, because I can't even hardly think about taking on more to do. But I just feel like this man, you know, he can get it and he can give it to his people. So. And he can come here to get it. You know, I'm not going to be spending all my time in Los Angeles. I just can't. I'm, you know, if I'm not careful, I'll be spreading myself so thin I won't get anything accomplished. And then I don't want to, you know, not that just me being here makes everything all right, but I do know, you know, if I'm gone all the time, the church here suffers too. So but it's an interesting thing to watch what God's doing and how God's touching people's minds. And I can tell you, this man's not just a fly-by-nighter. I could tell from his people and his church. I was there Sunday morning, and I'm going to say there wasn't 300. I said more like 250, maybe. But they're kind of like Dominicans. They keep coming, you know. I mean, you look up, and there's more of them out there, you know. So maybe I'm sure he has more than, he probably has more than 300 people that call that their own church. But I'm sure in any given service, just like here, you know, where did all the saints go tonight? You know, they're not all here. And so I could have been in the service when they weren't all there. And but they had a good crowd. And I can tell they highly honor and respect him and that he's building something in their lives. So I was thinking tonight while we were singing that song, I'm Still Here, thinking about how God, I was thinking about our young people here, young men and women here that God has in this church. And it took me back to my younger days, which, you know, I know you younger people will have this. It's hard for you to relate to this because I couldn't relate to it even 20 years ago. But it just will amaze you someday if you live to be old. And I'm not old, but I'm not young anymore either. I don't guess I can even say I'm middle aged. If I could get in Brother and Sister Crow's group and stay around them, I could figure I'm young. They think I'm young. But one day you'll think, where did the years go? You know, how did I get to be this old? I still feel young, and I look in the mirror and wonder, who is that guy? Who's that old man in there looking at me? And it just happens to you. You know, you always want to be older when you're young, but in a little while you'll be wishing you was younger. But when God has touched your life, especially from your youth, and I was thinking while we were singing that song, I thought, oh God, I'm so thankful that you've had your hand on my life and how it's worked something in me that I couldn't get away from. And I'm so thankful for that. If I would have known how to pray, I would have been saying, God, you know, get a hold of me in such a way that I can't get loose from you. That's the way I would have prayed. He did do that, but I was treading on thin ice many times. And to get this to develop, for God to be able to develop us, this Holy Ghost experience we get when we're young, it's, Paul said, it's the earnest of our inheritance. There's an inheritance in God that is so marvelous. It's so great. God's fullness is, it's so, and I have to say this tonight, I think it's, there's, what's yet to come is far greater than what we've yet received. I believe that. And brother, that was one of Brother Pilsen's questions was, how can we, in an imperfect condition, teach perfection to the saints of God? I said, well, Brother Pilsen, we're just, the Bible says that the pathway of the just is like a shining, as a shining light that shines more and more to a perfect day. I said, we see the perfect day, but we don't have enough light to get there yet. So we're just, when God shines more light, we're getting more light. But God is helping us to show the people there is a perfect day. We're reading about it. We know there's such a thing as perfection. We know that there's a, and somebody mentioned in this meeting in Brownsville that they didn't understand how we could, some people could be teaching that you can't reach perfection yet. And that, you know, you just might as well go ahead and live less than a dedicated life because you just can't get there. I said, whoever taught you all that, that's what we teachers is misguiding you, because We certainly believe that you have to live a dedicated life and according to all the light that you have. You got to live, you know, you got to be striving to make it. Even though we may not know, we may know that there's not, we don't have the, enough of the fullness of God yet. But I said, but when you understand that there's a resurrection that's going to include you in on that, it's giving more hope than what y'all are giving. But, so, I think we all are to be living, you know, a righteous life for God. But we can't live in any life that we don't have. But I'm just so thankful tonight that God was working in my life in such a way that somehow he got me here. And he put something in me that holds me here. You know, I'm not just barely here. I'm driving my tent stakes down in this. I've made this my life. I'm not playing with this. This is serious to me. And you know, Brother Mark Boyd was talking to me today and on the way we came to church together, and he was saying how that John the Baptist was preaching, now is the axe laid at the root of the trees, and every tree that brings forth not good fruit will be hewn down. He was preaching a judgment that was an eternal judgment, that the root was going to be laid at, I mean the axe was going to be laid at the root of the tree. But yet he didn't have that judgment to bring yet. But he was a prophet prophesying that now Jesus is coming to this world and he's bringing judgment. And Brother Mark was just telling me that he realized what a serious time that was. And that the fact that we are seeing that, you know, that judgment's near. I said, well, it's a serious time to live in, but it's also a wonderful time to live in. Just think, our young people, I really believe this about you, for you young people, that the greatest move of God that the Gentile world has ever seen is going to happen in your dispensation. And you're going to be able to see that. That's why I think it's difficult for me to hardly talk without saying something to our young people, because if I knew what I needed, if I knew how to help y'all more, I would. But I just told Brother Mark tonight, I said, the only way I know to help our young people is pray. God's going to have to do something. God's going to have to touch their lives. The Lord is going to have to reach in, and they're going to have to have experiences that's going to affect them in such a way that's going to put them in the greatest manifestation of God that the world has ever seen, this world has ever seen. And so I know that we can't get ahead of God. We can't rush God in all that. But I do, and I think God's stirring us up on it, because that's how God got Ezra and Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the temple. He stirred up their minds. That's like Brother Pilsen. What made him all of a sudden decide to go see his cousin? And it was God's time for Brother Pilsen. This happens to every man. Turn to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Every man in his own order. See, God orders the direction for your life. And he knows what he's doing. He knows when. But I'm You know, and I feel like that, in other words, there's people that aren't here that God's going to bring here. But I don't think that you ought to be thinking that, you know, well, I'm here, but, you know, until God really does something with me, well, then I'm not responsible. No, you're here because God's included you in on the first fruits. He's called you to be a part of this. That's why you're here. You can say, well, I'm here because my mom and daddy's here. Yeah, that's right. But that's how you got here. That's how you became a part of this. And so your inheritance is a blessing. It's not a curse, it's a blessing. Here in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and in the 22nd verse, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Of course, this is talking about all of God's children. It's not talking about everybody. It's just talking about this Bible's talking to His children. Paul's talking to the Corinthian church, a group of Christians. You all were dead in Adam, but in Christ you're all made alive. But verse 23 says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." So he has to come the second time without sin unto salvation in your life. Jesus has to appear to you. You have got to be added to the plan of God. And His coming and His appearing in your life, it happens in God's time. It happens in God's order. And we're blessed people because everything that God's gave us, it's available to all of us. It sets our mind, makes up our mind that we want it. And so, and we apply ourselves and to receive it. And I really believe that you can receive this. You can, you know, if you set your mind to it and ask God for it. Jesus said that. He said, if you ask God for a piece of bread, He's not going to give you a stone. He's not going to give you a serpent. He's not going to give you something that's not good for you, but He'll give you that's good. Ask and you'll receive. And so, God has an order of how He's doing this. And I gave Brother Pilsen the last day, you know, there's just so many things. You saints, I was talking to him about David and Goliath, you know, and I thought, when I was telling him about that, I thought, all the little kids in our church knows this. You know, they know what that little story means. They know. They don't just think that, you know, David and you know, just a little boy David went and took some stones and killed a big giant. They know what that story applies to. While I was explaining that to Brother Pilsen, you know, his mind just opened up. And I was just showing him how we're taking care of God's sheep right now. There's an anointing on this body to do a job that it's not God's time yet for us to step out and do it. But there's a beast system rising up. And it's going to challenge the people of God in this nation and in the world, but primarily in this nation. I was explaining to him how America would be destroyed, how America will go down, and how the 10 kings will be set up. And I was showing him a ministry that God's been working on. And they've been like it's Isaiah. Our Proverbs 9 says, wisdom has killed her beast. We've hewn out our pillars. We've been working. God has called us to do that. It's not been our something that we just decided to do, but it's a work of God. That was another thing Brother Pilson said. How do I know? You know, y'all aren't the only people that think you're it. I said, no, we're not. He said, how do I know for sure? I said, well, I can't fix you with that today. I said, God will have to fix you with that. I said, I could convince you, but you'd just be convinced of man. But I said, God. But I said, this will help you. Just hold this in your mind and meditate on it. I said, you'll never find another people that has more truth and understanding of the Word of God. Which he said, I can already agree with that. I said, and a people that not only did they have such great revelation, they'll still tell you we don't have it all. I said, that should say something to you, that we know that there's more. And we know that what God has given us is great. But we also know it didn't come by the works of man. What's that song that little Jimmy used to sing? The guitar, God, Jesus Christ is building a house. Little David, yeah. What was it? How they say that? It's not by the works of man. What's the other part of that right there? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that Jesus builds. Is that the same song? But I told him, I said, there's a You'll see that there's great truths here, and then there's a great anointing with it. This calling has a great anointing with it. And then there's the way men handle the Word of God and the way they handle people and one another. You know, it takes a schooling. Just to know how to operate in the body of Christ. Know how to have enough to go in, like Solomon said, to go in and out among your people. To be able to be tender enough to win people's hearts and to win people's confidence enough that where they will. That's what won me, is watching leaders. Watching men of God that were leaders that didn't force themselves. They didn't use this pulpit for a whipping post. They didn't get up here and work on one person because they saw them do something or heard that they do something. And I learned years ago to stop that nonsense. But to wait on God, let the Holy Ghost do that. Wait till God gets ready. You may know you're doing it when you do it, but you also don't know if God's doing it. It'll do some good then. You won't do any good until then, I can promise you. I've done been down that road. You can't build a church with that. But to watch men that loved God's people and were tender enough with them. Not that they were weaklings, you know, but I've just watched men become more tender with themselves and more tender with people. And then not to strive against strife. You know, when you finally get to a place where you can be diligent to serve God, and you can still stay within the boundaries of what God's called you to do, and within the boundaries of your gift, and enjoy serving Him. You can, you know, I think we all can do that. And of course, it just takes time, but it takes men that helps us to see those things and develop. The men of God, I'm talking about, how God's developed us. You know, I can see that there's not too many men out here in this world. They have all kinds of tactics and ways. One of the things Brother Pilson told me that the way he's growing his churches. he tells everybody that comes in, he said, you come in through somebody else. And everybody in his church is required to disciple 12 people. And all of those people were required to disciple 12 each. I said, that's not biblical, Brother Pilsen. God didn't, you can't find that in the Bible. He said, I know it, but it's a good way to grow a church. He said, it's a good way to. I said, well, I can't find any fault with it. We may need to get some things from you. We may need your help in some of those areas. But he also let me know it's hard to hold people. It's hard to keep them. It's hard to find some way to get them established. He said, one thing I know about this message already, if anybody sees it and they get in it, they ain't going to leave it. I said, you're catching on. There ain't nowhere else to go once you get this vision. Where would I go, Lord? Thou only hast the words of life. Hallelujah. So, I just have a thankfulness in my heart tonight that I'm still here. That God, come this way, that he's dealt with my life since I was a child, and that somehow or another he got me fixed, got my life fixed. And I'm not wanting tonight to take that for granted. You have to keep nourishing that. You have to keep nourishing those blessings and God's permit to keep coming. We let us go on, Paul said, to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of faith and dead works towards God, and of the doctrines of baptisms and eternal judgments, laying on of hands, and what's the other one I left out? Baptisms. And this will we do if God permits. So we've got to have God's permit to continue to go forward, keep moving in God. Hallelujah. So, I'm glad to be home tonight. Looking forward to the weekend, seeing what God's going to do. I've got an excitement down in my heart right now. I'd just like to get it in my feet if I could. I do want to make this announcement, though. Brother Matheny asked me to make this announcement. This Brother Crow is going to be, he's having a birthday party Saturday. He'll be 45 again. And they tried to make sure they sent out invitations to everybody. Brother Matheny wanted you to know that if you didn't get an announcement, it was by accident that you didn't get it, because they tried to get one to everybody. But if you didn't get one, you're invited. It'll be, I don't know how many of you know where Brother and Sister Crow lives, but it's at Brother and Sister Matheny's. Isn't it in their shop building? Their business there across the street and on the corner from Brother and Sister Crow's. 210 Steed. What's the exit there off of 440? Does anybody know the name of that? Is it the England exit? Yeah, Scott England exit. If you're going, out toward the airport, going just past the airport, out to the Scott England exit, you get off and turn left, and it's just up the road on your left, a metal building, you'll see it. And Steed Street there, just turn left, and it's right there on the corner. So I was able to change my itinerary, Sister Crow, because I didn't want to miss this. And I was supposed to be leaving, actually. Glad I didn't have to, but I was supposed to be leaving tomorrow for Montreal, Canada, and then flying from Canada to Louisville next week for the minister's meeting. But I'm going to go next week to the minister's meeting, then go to Canada from there, and I'll be back home for Sunday service, and then I'm going to the Dominican Republic the next day. So, yes. Yeah. Yes. And how many years marriage? 70 years of marriage. Wow. That's wonderful. Praise God. Stayed together, though, didn't you? Praise God. Well, you know, I'm thankful. Good. I'm thankful to have Brother and Sister Crow and all the other older saints, elderly saints that we've had. Because they are an example to all of us that, you know, somebody has stayed on the job so we could be here. And it should encourage all of us to keep on working. Keep working the road. And to be a part of what God's done, there's no greater life to live, I can tell you. There's just nothing more interesting. There's nothing that'll bring more peace. There's nothing that there's any more blessing in. Sister Crow could, you know, I'm not going to let her do it because she could talk for an hour yet tonight telling you how good God is. But because I know how good God's been to them. I know how God is. He's just he's a marvelous Savior, great Redeemer. And I wouldn't want to live my life. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to live without serving the Lord. I don't know how to function in the world out there. This is my life. Hallelujah. Let me sit down here and we can have a song. There's some purple earphones here. If anybody's missed them, they're probably a Sunday attender. Earphones maybe, and then I've got this little Jeep. I think Brother Pryor told y'all about it Sunday and didn't find any takers. But still here. Praise God. All right.
Keep on.
of you go out and find your 12 disciples and bring them back Sunday morning. I'll see you then. Praise God. I appreciate it.